Okay, we're doing the Meiri's work on Jewish history, the Seder Kabbalah. The Meiri had given us a bombshell last time about prophets' interference with the halachic process, seemingly direct disagreement between the Meiri and the Rambam. Now the Meiri continues and says, "Ulifamim ayusa mechina dinyanim v'dvarim shem inyanim mekubal etznam sheken halachal Moshe Sinai." Sometimes they would rely on things that they were concepts, things that they had on tradition, that this is the way it is, what's called Halacha Moshe Sinai. We don't have a source for it, but this is just the way it is. These were things which analytics and using our own logic or the laws of derivation, you couldn't derive these things. How do you know tefillin are black? Where does it say that the straps of the tefillin have to be black? That the knot, that tying the tefillin has to be in a square? The string that ties it has to be a perfect square. All the loops, you know, they form a square around your tefillin. Halachal Moshe Sinai. Now, it's not clear to me from the Meiri whether this concept of Halachal Moshe Sinai existed before the tradition, meaning the way the Meiri seems to be wording it, and I'm not sure this is what he means, but the way he seems to be setting it up is that Am Yisrael knew how to live as Jews. They knew Tefillin had to be like this. And then they sat down and analyzed and said, okay, where do we get this from? And certain things they could find derivations for, and certain things they said, can't find any clue to this in the Pesukim. The way the Meiri words it is, sometimes they relied on concepts that couldn't be derived anywhere else. And then he uses the word shekain, something they had on tradition that it was so. Halacha l'Moshe Sinai, as halacha from Moshe from Sinai. So does he mean to say that they had a tradition all along that this is halacha l'Moshe Sinai, different than all other traditions they had? Doesn't seem to be that way. Seems to be that he's saying that they had tradition, all of tradition, they knew what Judaism was supposed to look like, and then they had issues which they couldn't derive anywhere else, and then the tradition just relied on the fact that it was Halachal Moshe Messina. Now that doesn't fit with what we generally know, or the way we generally learn Talmud. But the simple reading of the Meiri seems that way. V'lifamim and sometimes the matter they knew from tradition, but they'd look in the Pesukim and say, okay, we could align this halacha, we could make an asmachta, we could say this pasuk alludes to this concept, and everything would remain within the tradition passed down. Together with the new halachot, the new minagim that came to be without machlokas. Everything was agreed upon. You had a high court, you had a prophet, you had a bottom line, and therefore you had one tradition being passed down.
The Sanhedrin of the prophets.
That was yesterday's
learning. They were in partnership.
Good question. Good question. I don't know.
That wasn't.
I don't know. Okay. The Meiri continues and says, now, what about a Mishnah we have in Shkalim? Umashamu chachamei a Mishnah b'shishi shir Shkalim. What our sages said in the sixth Mishnah, in the sixth chapter of Shkalim, ze midrash derash yoyeda kohen gadol. The following medrash, the following drasha derivation, was derived by Yoyada the Kohen Gadol, kol shuba mishum chet v'ashma. Any donations that came from a sin, yilakach ba olot, that you take all the sacrifices with that donation. V'abasal Hashem ol haKohanim, the meat gets offered as the sacrifice, and the hide goes to the Kohanim. So the Mishnah is seemingly quoting something from Tanakh, from Yoyada Kohen, from the times of the first temple, and it says this is Yoyada Kohen's derivation. Lo shekatav ze al sefer. It's not that Yoyada Kohen wrote it down, because the Meiri has been pounding home the point that throughout this period we're still dealing with the situation where nothing's written down. In the first temple period, the Meiri said no one had to take notes, everything was clear, everything was oral. But rather our sages derived it from the verse in Melachim. It's one of the Nevi'im, right? The book of Melachim is within Nevi'im. And over there, it records about Yoyada HaKohen, the institutions he made in the temple with regard to donations. The pasuk says, "Kesef Hashem mechesef chatot lo yuva bet Hashem lakohanim yiyu." The money for the asham and the chatos wasn't brought to the temple. That money remained for the kohanim. Now, that pasuk seems to be in contradiction with the law and the Torah. Im shematzinu b'Torah asham hu asham asham l'ashem. Even though the verse seems to say that when a person sins, it's between him and God, and his sacrifice is brought to God. And here, Yoyada seems to have made an institution that money that was brought goes to the Kohanim. How does that work? V'dalshu l'kemi kot alalu, so our sages derived. They said, how do you deal with this contradiction? Here it says, you offer sacrifice to God. Here it says, the money goes to the Kohanim. She'ya basar l'ashem ve'olo kohanim. So they said that what Yoyada HaKohen did was he instituted that in these sacrifices, the flesh is what's sacrificed to God, but the hide of the animal, which wasn't sacrificed, that remained for the Kohanim. And this is how you have to explain any similar instance you encounter in Shas. Because sometimes we use a term and we sometimes describe it as though this is the cause, and really it's not the cause, but rather it is the effect. Meaning, okay, how do we explain this? Let me think. Okay, I have to think of an example. Maybe next time we'll come back to this. ולזה לא תמצא שיאמר בתלמוד בהוראת איזה הלכה כך אמר נביא פלוני או בשם נביא פלוני ואילו לא היה עניין על הדרך שכתבנו היה כל התלמוד מלא מזה. And that's why you don't find what he means to say is that the Mishnah says this is what Yoyada HaKohen derived, and really we derived it from him. He's not the cause, we're the cause. He's the tool, so to speak. Sometimes the wording of Chazal, they say, he derived this. Did he derive it, or do we derive it from what's written about him? So sometimes we apply it, we write it as though he derived it. That's what it says in the Mishnah, Zemin Drash Derash Yoyada Kohen. Really, he's not the one that derived it, but rather we derive it from what he did, or from what it records about him. The following, that's what he means by this line. What's another example? Can't think of another example right now, but there are other examples. Okay. So, we don't find throughout the Talmud that the Talmud tells me, this is what this prophet said in the name of this prophet, or this one in the name of this one. And the idea is because we're not interested in where the tradition came from. You could trace it all the way back. When the Talmud tells us this is what Yoyada HaKohen Gadol said, so wait a second, all of the oral law passed through him. Why do we say this halacha was taught by him? Did he invent something new? No, the idea is that we derive it from him. if we were to start pointing fingers and say this is what he said, so we should always trace our way all the way back to Moshe. We don't do that. How come we don't say, you know, this is what Shmuel HaNavi said? Shmuel HaNavi taught us that when you sacrifice a sacrifice, a zar is allowed to sacrifice. You don't need a coin to do the slaughtering, only from Kabbalah Ve'ila. It was Shmuel who said it, but it wasn't only him. It was everyone's tradition. So we don't point fingers and start tracing backwards through the prophets till Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you have a Mishnah over here that tells us this is something that Yoyada HaKoin derived, that's problematic. Why don't you say that about everything else in the oral law? The answer is that here it's not, the point isn't that he derived it, but rather the point is we derived it from him. We derive it based upon what the verse describes he did. You guys with me? Clear? Now this is a concept that is really a Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud says that when we quote things, you usually limit the quote to three people. And you'll skip, meaning as far back as it goes, you'll quote, but the Jerusalem Talmud says you limit it to three. So if I say, Rebbe Ploni, Rebbe A, said in the name of Rebbe B, who said in the name of Rebbe C, so sometimes you skip like 30 generations in between. Okay, I'm exaggerating, not 30. The Jerusalem Talmud is bothered by a Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah in Peah says, "Azoresh nemi nechitim." If a person plants two types of wheat, so then it depends on the pasuk says that each crop has its own Peah. You leave over its own corner. Now, what happens if you planted two types within one crop, two types of wheat? So the Mishnah says that. One rabbi was doing this in front of another rabbi, and they wondered how you do it. And he took him up to Lishkas Hagazis. He went up to the high court, and in the high court, Amar Rabbi Miyasha, I think it is. He says, "I have on tradition." And then he starts quoting rabbi after rabbi after rabbi, going all the way back to the men of the great assembly. So the Jerusalem Talmud says, "What's going on here? Why don't we do that anywhere else? Why don't you always quote all the way back to the men of the great assembly?" So it says that ordinarily we go back up to, we quote up to three, and we'll skip in the middle. So this concept that we don't go back till the prophets is there. It's interesting in the Talmud in Chulin, there's a brisa that says, Yonah says, and Rashi quotes one opinion that Yonah is Yonah ben Amitai, the prophet Yonah. Rav Shri Raigon in his letter says that one of the questions he was asked was, how come in the Mishnah you only find the later Tanoim? You find very little Mishnayos with Yossi ben Yoezer. How come? The early generation Tanaim hardly show up in Mishnah. Who do you find in Mishnah? The last generation after the destruction of the temple. Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananyos, Rabbi Kiva's Rabbi. But you're talking about the last generations of Tanaim. You don't find Tanoim earlier than Hillel and Shammai. You hardly find Hillel and Shammai in three places. You have Hillel and Shammai. They're disciples, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Later generation, they're the ones that fill the Mishnah. So that was one of the questions that they asked of Shri Raigon. And in his answer, he says that up until the period of Shammai and Hillel, everyone had the same tradition, which is the direction the Midrash is writing. So who are you going to quote? Everyone said it. How could you attribute it to this rabbi or that rabbi? You attribute it to the first generation where you start having an argument. Then it's Rabbi Yehuda that says this, and Rabbi Shimon that says that, because in their generations you had a divide. Up to their generation you didn't have a divide, so you're not quoting anyone because everyone said the same thing. You guys with me? So this concept isn't spelled out as much by the Meiri over here. But he's going along the same lines that Yerushalmi goes, and that this Rav Shira goes, and that's over here. He dealt with the specific Mishnah, the Mishnah in Shkalim. How come over here we suddenly quote Yoyada the Kohen? So he says we're not really quoting him. He didn't teach us that. We learn it from a verse that describes him. Clear, fair, okay.